Good morning to you all. Thank you. You're helping me here. Thank you very much, Pastor Sam. Thank you to Lisa. Thank you to this household for giving us this opportunity for our house to stand here and to be a part of what God is doing in this house. We are privileged and we are really, really grateful that you were here to receive us into Hong Kong. I just want to tell you, when we arrived in Hong Kong about just short of 2 years ago, we came and we knew nobody in this city. And we were full grown, over 40 years old adults. And we pretty much fairly knew how to do things. We understood fairly well how to live life, how to do life. We knew how to do anything that we needed. People could actually ask us how to do things, but in South Africa. But you see, here's the thing. Let's just call this side of the way South Africa, right? And so here in South Africa, we knew. But when we came to Hong Kong, which is this side, even if we came with our bags full of money, South African rand, which is a good currency, you all know. You can do lots of things with that currency. But even if we came with that currency to Hong Kong, nobody were to accept it in this city. We could do nothing in this city. We knew how to live in South Africa, but all of that didn't help us very much a lot when we came to Hong Kong. When we came to Hong Kong, we had to inquire from everybody, somebody help us, tell us how to get a loaf of bread. We knew not how to do a thing. And so it is sometimes for us when we get into being born again. We come in a culture, we're born into a culture of old things, a culture of fear, a culture of so many things that are not of God. And we live that culture. We get to know how to do that culture. And then we get born again. Salvation comes and we come into Hong Kong, this new culture. And we have no understanding how to do things in this new culture. So I want to just read to you today from Romans 12. I'm going to go really quick. So you see, here in Hong Kong, when a lot of you know, being in the corporate world, there is a culture. Being in the city of Hong Kong, there is a culture. And I'm looking at this side of the hall when I speak of this old culture, because this is the side where the old things exist. And this culture of this world can sometimes be so strong, and the evidence of it can be so negative and very overwhelming. And I find that the church do not, as people of God, we do not always understand how to fit, how to bring that which God has as a promise and his will for us, how to fit it into this new world when we come into this new kingdom and into this new way of doing things. It can be very overwhelming. So here is what Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. He says, I'm reading from the Message Bible. He says, so here is what I want you to do. From verse 1, God helping you, take your everyday, your ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work, and your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. And we will get back to that because I want to just go quickly to Matthew 6, verse 33, what God then says, what Jesus says when he speaks to his disciples. He says, but first and most importantly, seek. This is from the Amplified, seek. Aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. I titled this discussion today, I titled it God's Way of Doing Things. How many times or how many of us know that God has his way of doing things? When we go through the history of the Bible, we see that God has a pattern that he gives to the Israelites. He gives a pattern in every time that God speaks. He brings a pattern. He gives a way of doing things. He gives an order and a sequence of how he would want it to be done. He does not say, okay, you already know how to do this. This is the outcome and the result that I would like for you to have. He says, no, this is how I would like for you to do it. And we know God is serious when he says that. We know that God is, it's close to his heart that we follow that, because we also have the evidence of people who did not do that. We know that the earth swallowed some of them up, who refused to do what God asked them to do, to follow his pattern. So one of the orders and the patterns that God has is the principle of a first thing. He says in Matthew 6, verse 33, he says, but seek first. He does not say second or third or fourth. He says seek first. The principle of the first is dear to God's heart because it establishes and it communicates his order. It communicates his way of doing things. We see that God is so serious about it, but he also finds it really pleasing. Because he gives us a promise. He says that if you to give me the first, he says in Romans 11, verse 16, he says, if you give me the first, for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. He says, the first is holy. Give me the best part. Now, you know, we know that the first of anything of our harvest, anything of our day, when we think of the first thing, we think of a first part, a part of something that is complete, that something that is intact, something that is still beautiful, something that is still untarnished. We then have to come and take that very first part of it and present it to God in a way that says, God, we love you so much. We know that all this really belongs to you. But we want to give you this very first part to say to you, thank you for giving your all to me. And that is what God wants us to do when he says, but seek first. He wants us to take the very beautiful part of who we are, the very beautiful part of who, of what he made and gives to us of our day, the first part of our year, the first part of our career, the first part of our doing, the first part of our ministering, the first part of our outreach. He wants us to take the first out of that and says, God, this is for you. This is of you, but I give back to you this very first part of it. Back home when we were taught about the first fruit or the principle of first, we were taught that it's a principle thing. It is something that activates. It is something that gives away. It is something that breaks open, and that's why it's an important thing. So I just want to share with you what God says when he speaks of the first fruit. He says to, in Ezekiel 44, verse 30, he says, honor with your capital, with your sufficiency, and with the first fruit of all your income, so shall your storage place be filled with plenty, and your vat shall be overflowing with new wine. So the first fruit, or the first, not just the first fruit, but the first thing, it activates also God's blessing upon our life. And that is why we would want to do what God asks of us, so that we enter into that what God has for us, so that we enter into the blessing of God. The thing about the first fruit that really strikes me is, because I'm a mother, you see, and I understand that when you have children and you have your first child, that child has to make a way. That child has to break open. That child has to come by force, right? Just hear with your heart. Listen. That child breaks open. It makes a way for the others to come. And that's the thing about the first fruit that I really love. And what we need in this kingdom of God, because we need to break through out of this world. We have to come by force. I think it's 1 John that teaches us that the kingdom, where is it written? The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but it is taken also by violence and by force. So passivity is not going to do it. It is a force. It's an intentional thing. It's something that you decide in your heart. I'm going to break out of this place. Yes. Okay. Are we doing well? Amen. You still with me? Okay, let's go right back to God's original intent. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, he had his heart that he gave to them. You see, God was in heaven, and he said he was a spirit, and he said, I want to go to earth. Man, I want to go to earth, but I'm a spirit. So I'm going to create someone who has a body and who can take me to the earth. I want to rule the earth, and I'm going to choose someone. can have my likeness, my image, and can go to earth. And so he created Adam and he created Eve. And he said, oh, they are beautiful. I'm so pleased. This is good stuff. You know what's the message, rule, multiply, subdue, you know what all that said. But and Adam was, he was really one with God. He really communed with God and with his Holy Spirit. And so Adam and Eve was complete and perfect in God's sight. But after the fall, Adam and Eve really died. Their spirit died away. They lost that communion with God. They really lost their sense of the things of the Spirit. They really lost the mindset of the things of the Spirit. They became flesh, truly flesh. But worst of all is they submitted to the ruler of this world. They submitted their entire being and their existence, their emotions and their will, their decisions were all given to the ruler of this world, the devil, as we know him today. They separated themselves from the Father. They separated their connection with who the Father is. They became orphans in their heart. They became aware of their flesh. They became aware of their nakedness. And every time they came into the presence of God, they felt that God can see them. They felt that there is something that doesn't sit well. I'm uncomfortable. I better get out of here. They had the heart of the orphan. They didn't know how to look their father in the eyes. They didn't know how to receive the love of their father. But that was Adam. But thanks Jesus, he came. Amen. Amen. Jesus came. And you see, when Jesus came, we're moving right here. When Jesus came, he reconnected us with the Father. He said, oh, ho, 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 we're going right back to God's original intent. We're going back to that place where we no longer are naked. We're no longer of the flesh, but we are now of the Spirit. We are now back into our seat of rulership. But you see, there's a transition that has to happen. We have to come from that place into this place so that we can rule with Jesus. We have to understand and see ourselves the way that Jesus sees us. You see, when Jesus came, one of the first things he said to Sam was, repent, because the kingdom of God is here. You see, that word repents mean lay off, finish off, stop, think again. Let us do it again. Let us start over. No longer are you that person. I'm coming with a new thing. I'm bringing something fresh for you. I'm restoring you. I'm making you right again. That's what Jesus said. But are we taking it? Are we moving from South Africa to Hong Kong? Have we decided to leave everything behind in that place? Have we given our minds up and accepted our spirit? Have we submitted ourselves to the lordship and the kingship of Jesus Christ? It's a very difficult thing. When we are born again, when we are redeemed, our spirit immediately becomes complete and whole. But sometimes we leave our spirit slumbering. Sometimes we are not even aware of our spirit being. We leave our spirit asleep. And the time has come where the church has to say, wake up, sleeping spirit, because I'm going over here. I'm no longer led by my flesh. I'm led by my spirit. It's written in the book. And we just have to embrace that in faith. We cannot take that by our mind. We have to take it in faith. We have to say, God, I don't know how to live in this new city. I don't know how to go over to this place. But in my every move, my every step, I'm going to inquire from you. I'm going to ask you how to do things in this new place. How to implement that which you made available for us in this new place. I want to go over. I want to move over. You see, Jesus said that if we come in our everyday life, if we come in our daily life, every morning, this is what I do. I know my sinful nature is very strong. I know my nature just want to jump up and do what I want to do. I know that I have this choice of life and death every day before me. So this is what I do. My prayer in the morning is, Jesus, I submit to you. I make you once again the Lord and the King of my life. I submit my emotions, my will, my desires. I put it under your authority. I make you the ruler of my life every day, so that when I go out, I have already given him the first part of my day. When I start speaking to people, I have already given my first words to him. When I start engaging with people, laughing and crying sometimes with people, I have already communed with him. The first part, the best part of the day, I have given to him. You see, seeking after the kingdom of God, it's a new concept for many of us. Understanding how to do life in the kingdom is a new concept. But I can tell you, it will revolutionize the way that you see the kingdom of God, the way that you commune with God, and the way that we represent God in this earth. There will be a church that is more glorious than the latter in this earth. There will be a church that rules and reigns in this earth. There will be a church no longer agreeing with the things of this world. There will be a church will no longer submit to a government of the day, but will know that our government is in the spirit. There will be a church who will bring the kingdom of God into this earth. There will be a church who will no longer agree and say, oh, it's winter. And you know, when it's winter, everybody has a cold. You know, flu is in the air. Oh, there's bird flu in the air. We will say, oh, no, 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 Jesus has died. You see, and when Jesus has died, by his stripes, I was healed. So there's no way that I give any authority or permission for any virus or bacteria to live in this body of mine. That virus or bacteria will rather die, but I ain't dying, okay? You see, when we submit to this government, to this rulership of Jesus, it is an unseen thing, but it releases so much power. It releases so much authority. It releases so much control. Because you walk as kind of like secret agents. You are men here, and I know all men want to be secret agents in their, somewhere in their lives, they wanted to be James Bond. So I today am here to tell you that we can be secret agents. I do that one. Wow, you go into a space and nobody knows why you're there. They just know you are part of what they're doing, but they don't know when you get into your office or into that place. You know, when back when God started teaching me about this, I was just working. And I realized, I said, God, but we can't just come to work. It can't be just because I get paid. There must be more. And God started teaching me very small steps. And he showed me, when you go into this place, I used to work in the State Protocol Lounge. And in the State Protocol Lounge, where it was where the government, where the guests of our government were to be received every day. And so we would be having kings and queens and presidents in our lounge. So that was just a VIP lounge. But as a secret agent, God taught me, if you ought to release my government into the atmosphere here every morning, decisions that are made here are no longer just decisions, but it's the decisions influenced by the Holy Spirit. And so in the morning, I would walk in and right through that lounge, and I would be santa. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Oh, Holy Spirit, this is your seat. Sit right here. Be part of the conversations that happens. And that is how we bring God's kingdom into the earth, not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. And I really believe that we're living in a day where God's people will receive strategies and ideas from the depth of God's heart. If we put our ears right here where his mouth is, we will hear things that has not been known, seen, or heard before. Amen? Amen. I just want to say that whoever finds the kingdom of God finds a place and places himself under the authority of God, both in heaven and in the earth. And therefore, we will start seeing the realities of the kingdom. Pastor Benjamin calls it the small R and the big R. So when we move and put ourselves under the authority of the kingdom of God, we move away from the small R because our reality and our landscape changes completely. We actually start seeing small pieces of evidence of the existence of God. We live in a world where people are yearning and thirsting to see the revelation and the existence that there is a God. My children told us that at school, 12-year-olds are asking them, how can you believe in this fairy tale of a Jesus? You see, the world is thirsting to know that he is there. And it's through us that he chose to come to the earth. Not in a religious way, But it's through love, it's through understanding, and it's through the secrets of his heart that we will penetrate this earth. And so there's still a lot of teaching, a lot of understanding. There's a lot of searching and inquiring of God for us to really understand what this is. There's a knocking at God's door that it still has to happen. But I believe that just this demonstration will today activate you into moving over from the old world where the old structures and the old rule of the kingdom of darkness no longer define and determines the outcomes of our lives. But that we come over to this place where we bow our knee, we submit to him and says, Father, I don't even feel like praying. I don't even feel like coming to you. I don't even know what they're talking about. But you are the great teacher. Will you teach me about this kingdom? Will you teach me how to be an accountant in this city? Will you teach me how to be an engineer? Will you teach me how to be a pilot in this city? Will you teach me how to be a banker that represents the kingdom of God? I need to know of you because I want to represent you. So it's our pleasure today, and I believe I speak on behalf of the ladies when I say that we're looking at you men, and we are expectant to see mighty things happening in this city. And we know that this weekend is a day and a weekend that was demarcated and set apart by God. And therefore, we have faith in it that God will do a mighty thing this weekend. And as you depart from here to the retreat, we would like to say to you that we acknowledge you. We don't always sound like we acknowledge you, but we acknowledge you. We respect you. Yeah? I speak on behalf of all the women today. We respect you. We're looking at you and we see the representation of God in the earth. We're looking at you and we rely on you to represent the Father's heart to our children. So we put great faith in your representation in our homes and to our children. And we believe that you are men of valor. We believe that you have strength that comes from within. We know that there is a lot of word that is inside of you, and that word will bear fruit in your life. We know that you are not timid. You may sometimes feel like a Gideon, but we know that's not the truth. The truth about you are that you are strong men. The truth about you is that you are faithful in what you do. The truth about you is that you are leaders of your household. The truth about you is that you know the truth and you yearn and desire after the truth and you want to do the truth. That is the truth about you. The truth about you is that you don't have to work hard and labor for what you need, but you are a man after God's own heart. Yes, you may make mistakes. Yes, you may sometimes fall. But the truth about you is that you always get up. The fact that you are sitting here today means you are men who fall, but you get up. I like you. We like you. We love you. Thank you very much, Pastor Sam. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Pastor Benjamin.